Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today, I'm with Professor Scott Lucas, who is Professor of American Studies at the University of Birmingham, and he's also the editor of the news and current affairs site EA Worldview. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning, Lucy.
First of all, maybe tell us a little bit about you and your research specialisms.
My initial job was as an academic here at the university. So for more than 20 years, I've written books and articles about the United States, about Britain, and about the world. When I first started, it was the Cold War. Mm-hmm. Then later on in the 1990s, it was globalization. And then in the 21st century, it became the War on Terror and these far-off places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan and Palestine that were back in the news. So I wrote articles about the Bush administration, as well as writing about American history. But about 2 years ago, I started deciding with colleagues that we would do this on a day-to-day basis, that we'd take this academic expertise, and we really would function as online journalists. So we created a website called EA Worldview, and we have certain specialist areas. We focus on U.S. foreign policy, who's controlling it, what do they seek to do, and then we take certain international areas. We're pretty much one of the leading places if you want to know about Iran, this very complex, turbulent country. We have a specialist area on the Middle East and Turkey. We have a specialist area on Afghanistan and Pakistan. And then we're going to add our next specialist area, which will be on terrorism. What is terrorism? How does it affect us? How is it being fought? We'll add that later this month.
So the big thing at the moment is obviously what next for Obama?
Yeah, President Obama has now been president for almost 2 years, having come in January 2009 with these very high hopes. And it appears that this is a downtime for Obama because in the recent elections in November, the opposition Republican Party won a number of seats in the U.S. Congress. They took control of the lower house, the House of Representatives. And some of the doomsayers are saying, not only is the Obama dream of change finished, but Obama himself is finished and he'll be out as president in 2012. Well, I would kind of agree with the first that we're not going to see dramatic change, but I disagree with the second. I think President Obama and his advisors are playing a very shrewd political game where he will be reelected in 2012. But this game is not the game that they played earlier, which is, you know, change for America. We're going to have all this movement on healthcare and on education and on housing, and then we're going to bring a new face of America to the world. You're not going to see anything really dramatic. It's going to be the very, very pragmatic. We're the sensible guys. We're not the guys making loud pronouncements. We're the people you can trust. They'll do this and hope the Republicans make the mistakes until 2012.
So he's going to be sitting tight.
Yep.
Who's going to be making the mistakes? Is it going to be Sarah Palin?
Well, Sarah Palin is an obvious candidate, bless her heart, because here is a woman who I think many listeners will have heard of because she is very dynamic. She's very charismatic. Mm. She emerged from being a relatively little-known governor of Alaska to being a vice presidential candidate in 2008. And even though her ticket lost, she didn't go away. Instead, she basically repackaged herself, has done everything from being a commentator on Fox News to making a documentary about the state of Alaska. Mm-hmm. She gets headline space each and every day, and so she's got visibility. The problem for the Republican Party with Sarah Palin, and beyond that with this movement called the Tea Party, what's called a grassroots movement, is that these people are very long on disenchantment, frustration, and anger, but possibly a little bit short on practical ideas on how to move forward. So rather than actually challenging Obama, they're actually splitting the Republican Party because you have a very traditional mainstream Republican Party. Think your guys on Wall Street, think your businessmen on the East Coast, think your solid Midwestern types, and then contrast that with people like Palin and the Tea Party who say, we don't trust any government. We don't want any type of government cooperation with business to handle the economy. We want to pull out of everything. And it's almost like some Republicans are saying, are you going to tear the house down in order to supposedly get us elected? So that means that Sarah Palin is one of a number of people that you see will try to vie to get the presidency, the nomination for the Republicans in 2012, but she's not assured of it. And beyond that, the Republicans are not assured whoever gets the nomination of defeating President Obama.
It seems at the moment, while perhaps over here everyone's battling over the center ground, American politics is extremely polarized.
You have this unusual phenomenon that, you know, on one day-to-day level, I could read things for you and say, look, they're trying to maneuver and look at this on the economy. you know, let's try to make sure unemployment doesn't rise. Let's try to make sure that the American dollar remains strong. Let's try to make sure that America remains powerful in the world. And they're trying to be very pragmatic about it. But then when you get beyond analyzing what's happening, say, behind closed doors, and you go to the American media, it is this shouting match between commentators on talk radio, mm-hmm. which is very distinctive in the U.S., mm-hmm. on cable television news channels, probably the one that most listeners will know of is Fox News,
yep.
but there are many others like MSNBC. And rather than going to talk about the issues and working out, what about national health care, mm-hmm. for example, people will point fingers at the other side and say, for example, Obama is a socialist. Obama is a communist. Mm-hmm. Obama is a Muslim mm-hmm. who was actually born in Indonesia rather than the United States. You'll have people denouncing Sarah Palin to the point saying that Sarah Palin's claimed youngest child is actually not hers. It was actually one of her daughters who had mm-hmm. it, and that Sarah tried to cover this up. Mm-hmm. We're at the point now where even the appearance of Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, on Dancing with the Stars,
yeah.
which is our equivalent of the American equivalent of Strictly Come yeah. Dancing, is being treated as a political contest. You know, if Bristol wins, that means the Republicans have triumphed. If Bristol loses, the Democrats have retaken the political ascendancy. And you get this on a minute-by-minute basis. You
get I love it. They get Bristol Palin and we get Ann Whittacombe.
Ann Whittacombe, bless her. You know, I was never a big fan of Ann Whittacombe, and now you can embrace her. She's like everybody's stumbling grandmother and so on. You get, I guess, on beyond a Bristol level, when people characterize, say, like healthcare, it's like a Rush Limbaugh, who's the most famous talk radio mm-hmm. show host, or Glenn Beck, who probably is the best-known TV host. They don't talk about your details of what it means in terms of cost and what it means in terms of being able to ensure you get care when you walk into a clinic. They talk about this opening up the door to basically a socialist America. They talk about it being a loss of independence. They talk about it as being a triumph of the evil Europeans, so, you know. But it's hard to get my points put across in that type of environment. And more importantly, I think it's hard for a lot of Americans who don't want the shouting match.
So it's actually making it hard to find a space to find an agreement or a reasonable path forward or some solutions.
It's actually like using the bombs of rhetoric to destroy the center ground. You just drop everything in the middle and you say, look, you come to our side. Otherwise, you're over on the other side. It's almost strange to say that the most significant rally in the last few weeks, just before the election, was held not by a politician or by a political party. It was held by the television host, Jon Stewart, who runs The Daily Show, which mm-hmm. is this strange combination of satire on the news and parody, but is almost to the point where Jon Stewart becomes known as being the mediator for what is actually mm-hmm. happening. And he has a rally for sanity. So you get 150,000, 200,000 people in Washington on the Mall between the Capitol and the Washington Monument say, look, let's have a bit of sanity in politics. You know, everybody sang a few songs. Jon Stewart gave a great speech. And then 24 hours later, we were back again to, if not insane, sometimes less than rational accusations being hurled back and forth across the political spectrum.
So 2012, Obama will have a second term?
Overall, I think the immediate answer is Obama will get a second term in 2012. But the much bigger question is that Obama might have that success, but is America successful? And I think it's far more problematic. I think the type of America you have now, the type of language over really, really important issues doesn't lead to reconciliation, doesn't lead to progress. It leads to further problems, whether you're talking about healthcare, the environment, or the economy. So I suspect you and I could have the same conversation in January 2013 with Obama in the White House. And I still would be just as pessimistic about the country's future rather than his.
Well, maybe I'll see you in 2013. I'll take you up on that. And in the meantime, perhaps we should rethink Strictly Come Dancing. Maybe it should be an entirely political competition.
I'm just trying to picture in my mind. I mean, David Cameron.
You might get a result, which we didn't get.
You might get a result with David Cameron squaring off against Nick Clegg, squaring off against Ed Miliband. And so, you know, rather than Red Ed versus Blue Dave, you know, it's who salsa can energize the voters.
Yeah. See them all in sequence.
I'd switch from X Factor to see that.
Yeah. Me too. Professor Scott Lucas, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.